Hey y'all, welcome to The Root Podcast. My name is Reverend Lauren Gerlach, and I am so glad that you have carved out time for being here today. Over the years, The Root has blossomed into so much more than a Bible study. It's truly a community where we do life together and follow Jesus, and we invest a pocket of time every week in reading scripture and asking questions and just sinking our teeth into what God is calling us toward in the week ahead. While The Root class meets on Sundays, this podcast is here for you. And I am so glad that you have landed here with us. So settle in, grab your cup of coffee, and flip your Bible open to the book of Acts. Let's get started. Holy and gracious God, we praise you for this morning that we get to have the Root potluck, the fall semester wrap-up, the last class that we are spending together, this unique group being in the book of Acts. You have surely blessed us in what we have learned and seen and read throughout this book of a incredible testimony of what your Holy Spirit is doing in and through those who are willing and those who love you. May we be just like them. All this we pray. Oh, and bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies and our bodies to your service. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. It's weird to bless food at the beginning of my usual like root prayer. I had to revert back to the dinner table for a second. So glad y'all are here. Quick note just about sign-in stuff. So yes, keep signing in. Y'all are doing great. It really does matter. There's sign-ins at the table. There are other pieces of paper at the table too. I want to tell you really quick what those are. One of them is hopefully a sign-up for the next study, which will be on January 12th. So not January 5th, the first Sunday back, which is Epiphany. I won't be here that Sunday. It is a special Sunday in the church anyways that we want to make sure everyone is in worship for. But January 12th, we are coming back strong in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. This is one of the most popular, this and Revelation, one of the most popular book studies in the whole church, with no surprise. There are amazing stories in Genesis. There are a lot of questions that come from it, a lot of worldview framework stuff that we will get into. So if you've never read Genesis past chapter 3, I promise you will really like it next year. The stories are so much better than what you're streaming on Netflix, I guarantee you. They're so much more complicated and interesting and sometimes kind of devious and sometimes really, I don't know, just... they're just really, really rich. There are a lot of dimensions to them. So we're going to do Genesis. I'm so excited about it. We have books for y'all. This is where the sign-up announcement comes in. Please, please, please put your name down. Put your spouse, your friend, your neighbor, whoever is coming with you. If someone is, put their name down so that we can reserve these. We make sure to procure these from the church for y'all. We want to make sure that they're free, that everyone has access to Scripture. That's important to me, and the best way I can do that is if you tell me ahead of time so that we make sure we have enough. So, super easy, just let me know. Another sign-in that is either there or that will be there in January is another round of name tags. So, for all of my friends who keep one name tag in one car, one name tag in another, one on the fridge, one on the dishwasher, one wherever is magnetic in your house, or for those of us who put them in one purse and then have nine others and wonder where it went the next Sunday, this is your shot. For $5, you too can have a second name tag or a replacement or a new one if you've never had one. So make sure to let me know. That way we like to get a bulk order in. It's not that hard, but obviously want to be sensitive to getting everyone included. So those are a few of my like check-in, sign-in announcements. One last one is that at the end of every study, I do a survey. St. Andrew is a place of excellence. I'm a person who likes high expectations. I want to make sure that y'all enjoy this. I want to make sure that it's valuable to you, and I want to know what every season can be done a little better. You can thank the survey class of 2023 for the coffee you've enjoyed all of 2024 fall. That was a result of this. I can't read minds if you don't tell me, so just let me know and feel free to fill it out. It would be a blessing for all of us who drink coffee, as it was this fall. So other than that, we're here. We have on the website the ability to listen to the podcast. I just want to point this out. If you're wanting to circle it back, if you're wanting to send it to someone who has never gotten to hear The Root and is interested in Genesis, these are the two website pages. You can see the listen button on the website will take you then to this, and it archives all of it. I am not the tech guru that does all of that, so when there are times that, like, Scott Engel has subbed in between, you might see a gap. That's natural. We're going to all survive, but I just want to make sure that we all know where to find it so that you can get the word out, per se. Any thoughts or questions as I keep going through announcements? I know this is kind of rapid fire. Great. Okay, this is Scott Smith, by the way. If you haven't met Scott, he's the one walking around with the papers. Him and Sue, let's just take a minute and give them a round of applause. They have been the hospitality lay leaders that helped. The room did not look like this when I was here yesterday on Saturday. Many of you have met them and then also have joined in and shared the load. It's not just them, but they have been willing to take the leadership part of it, and I really appreciate it. We wouldn't have the vibe tribe of what The Root has become without them, so it matters. Okay, as we keep going, so December is upon us soon, and I won't be here for the next 2 weeks, so I want to make sure and get you all the information that you need. On December 1st, the Stations of the Nativity are starting back up again. This is what it looks like. It's the audio-guided tour. We do one during Advent, one during Lent. Most of y'all know because it's my voice that's on the recording. And it is, if I do say so myself, a rather moving experience. And I want to make sure you make a note on your calendar to stop by at some point during Advent. It's all outside of the Hasley Chapel this time, not over by the main narthex. In addition to that, we have all of these services in ways that I hope I see you on Christmas Eve or Christmas Eve Eve. Just take a gander at all that we're doing just on one 48-hour span, if you will. We have contemporary, traditional, we have childcare, we have candlelight at all of these. So if you're used to going to a service and passing the candlelight on Christmas Eve and that's really important to you, don't worry. We have 8 options for you to show up and come to more than one. This is the first year that we're having the traditional, which I'll be preaching at 11 a.m. in Hasley Chapel. And we're literally going from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. this year. That's new. We've never done all that. So it just is a reflection of the growth of the church and the desire that people have to worship together here. And there will be a lot of people whose first time it is to St. Andrew also on this weekend, on honestly the next 4 Sundays. So parking lot or hallway or running into someone in the restroom or water fountain, like, give someone a smile. You never know. If this is their first time back to church in 20 years, it might be. That's kind of the beauty in a lot of ways of being at a place this big, is that there, you can't even imagine the stories that we could share about what God is doing with folks who are either longtime members or, like I said, they haven't even been into a church, maybe ever. And they're choosing to join us here. So we're trying to do everything we can as a staff to make this place feel as much of a home as possible, as much of a Christ-centered respite from the rest of the world as possible. That's our job every Sunday, and we want to invite you to join us in it. So with all of that, any questions, thoughts, announcements? Yeah, Bill. Oh, yes. Okay. We'll do joys and concerns at the beginning this time, or at least a joy. Yeah. Do you guys mind if I share? Okay. So we have Bennett Style, who is how many weeks old?
5 weeks old.
5 weeks old. And is the newest member of The Root. I feel like we're having like an induction ceremony. I love it. Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, we're so glad y'all are here. Bennett is here and healthy and happy. He has the most beautiful blue eyes ever. So see, The Root, a place from 99 to 5 weeks old. Anyone is welcome. truly multi-generational. Because we do life together in a class like this, and you start to notice when people are or aren't here, that's a good thing, though. How many people go to a church where nobody notices on a Sunday when they skip? Not to be in a shame or a judgment way, but like, I would kind of want people to know or, you know, check in on me. Where, hey, where were you? We missed you. And I know a lot of y'all have had those experiences. You've been out for a certain reason or surgery or vacation, and it is so good to be back. Any others? Thoughts, questions, joys, concerns, announcements? With that, let's say for the last time our memory verse for the fall, which was from Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. You know, just a quick tangent. Today in the church is a special day. It's called Christ the King Sunday. It's kind of like a pseudo holiday, if you will, holy day, where Christ the King Sunday is really describing a lot of this verse. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved, other than King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace, Jesus of Nazareth, Emmanuel, Son of God. Like, we could just go on and on. Y'all have probably seen all the amount of Bible studies that there are about the names of Christ, but that just kind of hit me for some reason. That hit me for the reason that that is, that is a perfect description of what we're going to talk about today in worship at Christ the King. So anyways, Acts 28, here we go. We are in verse 20. I think we were at 24. Yep. We had just ended 23. All right. Oh, whatever. Let's go back to 23. It won't make sense if we don't. Okay. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God, and from the law of Moses and from the prophets, he tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. That's pretty much Acts in a nutshell, is it not? Verse 24. Verse 25, they disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said this through Isaiah the prophet. And this comes from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 through 10. So Luke is retweeting Isaiah. He says, go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. This is as hard to understand as it is to even at best take it at face value. Like, look really plainly at what Isaiah is saying here. Time and time again, Jesus says things like this, right? He says, let anyone who has ears to listen hear. Like, if anyone has ears, the implication is usually that you can hear, right? If anyone has eyes, that's the way of the ordering of the human anatomy. And so when he says here, you'll be ever hearing, but never understanding, ever seeing, but never perceiving. There's a certain depth to this, and it has to do with a theme that has been all throughout Acts, which is this. One of the central themes that has been all throughout Acts, Israel is divided between those who accept the gospel and those who reject it. Will you accept it or will you reject it? Will you have ears to hear? Will you have eyes to perceive? Is kind of the opposite of what this is saying, right? Seeing and perceiving, those are different. Perceiving takes intuition. It takes a little bit of intellect. It takes context. It's not just plainly seeing the tablecloth is black, right? Israel has been divided time and time again between those. When Paul goes into town, where does he go first? Synagogue. The synagogue. He goes to the Jewish people. the people, Israel. He goes to them, presents the gospel, and they have two options, accept or reject. So even in Isaiah, centuries before Jesus, this is written about what the people of God will be like. Their hearts will become callous. That was verse 27. They will hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. They have closed their eyes. Is that, take it at face value. Is that a choice, the way it's written?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a choice. They have rejected. They have chosen not to look upon, if you think about in the crucifixion, right? Where did the disciples go? They couldn't, many of them, Christian tradition says, as they fled. They chose not to look. It's thought to be that one of the strongest, like, spiritual formation modes that there can be, this is why the Catholic Church often uses the crucifix, is to look upon. What does Isaiah say in Isaiah 53 when he talks about the suffering servant, the lamb? It's the lamb is not beautiful that we should desire it, not attractive that we should yearn for it. And it goes on and on in Isaiah 53, talking about how ordinary and how almost like unattractive it will be. And then we have Jesus, who comes and brings this gospel, not by conquering kingdoms and sitting in royal thrones and having crowns of gold, but rather is glorified and exalted upon a throne of a wooden cross. That's the message of Christ the King Sunday, is will you look upon him? There's a lot of famous Christian songs that go off the title, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Lauren Daigle, a very famous contemporary singer, you may have heard her rendition recently. She does a beautiful job with it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wondrous face. For the things of the world will grow strangely dim in the eyes of his glorious face. And that's the lyrics. And it is kind of true, right? When we all come together next year and we're sitting, Ash Wednesday is March 2nd next year. So between March and April 15th or whatever Easter is going to be, the question for all of next Lent is, will you look? Will you look at him? Will you turn your eyes upon him? Will you orient everything else in your life by that standard? Instead of ordering everything else in your life by your desires and your perceptions and then making Christ fit into it somewhere like one of the puzzle pieces we found under the rug, will instead you realize that the puzzle is actually the mosaic of Christ and you have these pieces that you can create rhythms in your life so that it is honoring to the full vision. Anyways, so Isaiah 6. Yes. Yeah. Like an ignorant resistance. Yeah. The first point that was brought up is about John 9. Is that what you said? Yeah. Where the religious leaders basically are told, what was the quote? Well, yeah, and we could be here all day long talking about the motif of blindness in the Gospels, especially given that. What I like about Isaiah 6 here is in that verse 27, they have closed their eyes. I like the agency that this is reflecting, that they chose to close their eyes. That's a little different than the way blindness is presented as a motif in the New Testament, in the Gospels especially, but the question time and time again are these two words. Will you accept or will you reject? So, verse 28. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. Exclamation point. How often do you get that? This has to do with the second central theme of the whole book of Acts. Salvation is offered to the Gentiles. Luke picks up the baton right where it's handed off, up on the mountain when Jesus gives the Great Commission in Matthew 28, take this reality, take this knowledge of the kingdom of God and salvation through that and through me, Christ is basically saying, take all of that and go to the four corners of the world. Never stop. And when he says four corners of the world, the key is that this now is no longer kept within the family of Israel. This is no longer kept to just the Jewish people. It will spread all throughout to the Gentiles because that is for whom it is. I wish so bad that I was in a PhD class about basically the Jewish faith in Israel. I was in that this January through May. And my professor said this, and I also can agree, is I wish so badly we could understand how crazy that would have felt to them to hear that this would go to the Gentiles. And I can't even really come up with an adequate metaphor for you to convey how shocking this would be for people, for the Jewish people who have been handing down the story of the Abrahamic covenant, of the Davidic covenant, of the Mosaic from Moses covenant, like all, from all of these stories of their lineage that now all of a sudden others will be grafted into. Have you ever grafted a tree or seen that done? My dad has done that with a lot of pecan trees on our farm in Missouri, and it's a long process, and it has to happen in just the right conditions. And once it happens, growth can be exponential. It can make the tree so much different than it would have been without it. And I just think that it's important for us to understand that whatever theirs in this world was us versus them, you still have an us versus them in your life. I do. We do. We can say we don't, and we wish we didn't, but somewhere in our worldview, unfortunately, there is us. And then how do you see every single person that you might be likely to put into the them category as fully, completely beloved and made in the image of God? That's a life's work to constantly be reconciling that back and forth. Now, it doesn't mean that everyone is in the family of God as they have accepted the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that, but everyone is made in the image of God. And so for them to even come to understand that this salvation that they can have, the, as it says in the Old Testament over and over again, the hope of Israel, is now no longer just for Israel. It's been amazing to see it throughout Acts, and that's what verse 28 is getting at. You know what's weird? Look at verse 29. Look at the bottom of your page. Some manuscripts include here, after he said this, the Jews left, arguing vigorously among themselves. Just a quick reminder, verses, indentation, translations are still happening day to day based on updated grammar. But these weren't versing. Versing was not in the original manuscript. Luke did not write it like this and say, yeah, right after I pack a punch in verse 28, I'm going to leave a weird cryptic verse 29. That wasn't his intention. We're seeing the outworkings of multiple translations and manuscripts being reconciled against each other, and clearly without enough confidence for them to put in. Does someone have their real Bible? Not that this isn't the real Bible. Someone have their full Bible? Could you hunt down for us verse 29 and see what it looks like? Anyways, that's a nerdy piece I didn't look at. Yeah, Alan. Really? Okay. Does it say what ours says?
It says 28 and then 30.
Yeah.
It says, it's really small. And when we had, when we sold these words, the Jews departed, having much dispute among themselves.
And when he was told these words?
Yeah, when he said these words.
When he said these words, the Jews departed, having much dispute among themselves. Okay, so Alan's Bible is also reflecting a similar versification. Okay. Okay. How interesting. Well, there's your Bible stumper for our whole season. You now can go to someone who you think knows the Bible very well and ask them, my memory verse is Acts 28:29 this week. And tell them, see if they can repeat it back. See if they know, if they just say, oh, good for you. Or if they're like, wait a second. Yeah. There you go. If you got nothing else out of this whole series, there you go. Verse 30. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Before we even exegete this, which means unpack this, give yourselves a round of applause. Like, that was it. There you go. You have read every verse of the book of Acts. And it ends in such a, I don't know, unsatisfying maybe for those of you who want details and timestamps. It ends in a little bit of a vague way, but an inspiring way, right? For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house, welcomed all who came to see him. Can you? Go ahead. I have no idea. Great question, though. Was that a shared question? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, let's just acknowledge for a second one really hard thing that scholars devote their lives to and still end up frustrated, which is the fact that we don't know with certainty exactly what happened to Paul. I mean, it's not written right here by Luke, is what I'm saying. We have prison letters. We have the epistles, these other letters. Wow, it's already 10:15. Okay, we have a lot of different texts, but here Paul has come and he has brought the extent of the gospel. Has it made it to all 4 corners of the world yet? It's spread, but it hasn't made it there yet. Is it right under the nose of Caesar and the Roman leadership and civilization and right in the heart of anything that could reflect, if this thing can take over here, what could it do throughout the rest of the world? And that's what I believe Luke is really wanting us to understand, is that not only is it left off with probably the most peaceful thing we've heard about Paul, which is that he's been like a great hostess for 2 years, and we're not told anything in the last sentences about persecution. We're not told anything about death or imprisonment. That's not what Luke is focusing on for the end of the whole scripture subset. What he is focusing on, I think, and what you will hear at St. Andrew and many other churches that are Orthodox, is that we are part of the fifth act. That one of these is your hand, and the other one is the hand of all those who have gone before us, like the Apostle Paul. Not just Paul, we are handed on this faith. Arthur says that phrase a lot. We're handed on this faith. This isn't something we just got a cool group of people together in Imperial Hall and hung out and read in a closet with, you know, no other context, no other research. This is something that people around the world are reading. This is something that people for centuries have found the Holy Spirit's movement off the page and in their life. This is, right now, this is a book that has a white page and black text. But nothing about our classes and the movement of the Spirit at this church or in your lives is limited to white paper with black text. It can't be. That is the whole point of having a living, divinely inspired scripture. Which is why the third central theme is this, the gospel's unstoppable advance. The beautiful thing about the gospel means good news, really, this should be redundant. Unstoppable and gospel. in my mind, in my faith, that is redundant. What does it say in Scripture? Like, if it is from God, who can stop it? That was in Acts, actually. If this is from the Lord, it will not be stopped. And I don't know what the next 6 weeks until I see you again will hold for you. I don't know what doctor's appointments you're waiting on, or what travel you're worried about, or what anything is going on in your life. But if there is one thing that is absolutely for certain, that I have put all my eggs in one basket, and I would ask you to do the same, it's this. The gospel, the way that God moves, will not be stopped. So lean in. If we have the choice to accept or reject, you can pray long and hard about exactly how you want to go about that. But I'm telling you, it is so much better when you see yourself in your life through this lens. It is so much more freeing. It is so much more joyful. There is so much more peace in the worst circumstances when you're part of this grand mission. And the beautiful thing is that everyone's invited to. So it really is. It's like that part in Isaiah 6. Will you close your eyes or will you open them and see all that God is doing and will do? So anyways, that's Acts 28. It's been so fun being with you all. This is such a milestone every time. A lot of you know that 6 years ago I worked in digital software and never ever thought I would be in ministry. And now we just went through the whole book of Acts together. So look how much can change. It's a blessing to me every time you guys show up on a Sunday, because what John Wesley used to say was, have faith, preach faith until you have it. That's what John Wesley said. Not a great professional development guideline, I would say, but I can tell where he's coming from at times, because I've shown up on certain Sundays and I've prepared, I've read the text, I've translated the Greek, I've looked at the map, and we get here and something one of y'all has said completely sends it in a different direction. And that's why I love this, because I have no idea what the Holy Spirit is going to do every time I roll into work. I have no idea. I have no idea. And so because you're willing and you all are open and gracious enough to share your lives and your faith along with me, it makes all the difference for us as a group. So that's all we have. I'll close in prayer. If there are any last questions, thoughts, joys and concerns, we'll do those quickly. And then please do take a few minutes and fill out the survey. I know that some of y'all have been through it 900 times, but pick something you like and write it down. I don't care. Just let's get enough feedback that we can do something with it. All right, so joys and concerns before we close in prayer. Just a general joy, thankful for friends, family, and blessings. I think that's a great overall prayer. Another joy, thankful for God's word. If it's not too much trouble, maybe pray for your pastors in the next month, because you saw the 9 services, and that's just on one day. We are here for y'all, and there is really nothing that can hold us back or stop us from wanting to be here with you all in the church. There's nowhere else we would rather be. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't take a lot of Diet Coke at 9:30 a.m. every now and then, just to make sure it's all going smoothly. So with that, we'll close in prayer. Gracious God, you make your love so clear to us, and sometimes the most unique ways that we never expect to see it, maybe in a quote from Isaiah 6 or at the end of Acts 28 when we want to know what happens next, and yet we are comforted by the image of the baton being handed off. You give us a charge to keep. You give us your steadfast love that goes with us. And on Christ the King Sunday of all Sundays, there truly could be no better time to recall the mission that your son died for, that he rose for, that he ascended for, that he is coming back for in full glory. God, may we await your return with eager eyes, eager ears, and eager hands to do the work that you're calling us to as we await you. All this we pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, go in peace. Hey, y'all, thanks for joining us here at the Root Community and Podcast. Hope that this class has been fruitful and eye-opening as to what God is doing in your life specifically. Until we meet again, I'll be praying for you. I ask that you pray for me, and we will journey through life in Christ together.